WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work.
Did you know that the number of independent bookstores in the U.S. has nearly doubled in the last decade? I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. The Chicago area is home to more than 50 of them, and to mark Independent Bookstore Day, this Saturday is the annual Chicagoland Bookstore Crawl. Here to discuss, we had Jamie Erickson, who owns Dandelion Bookshop in Oak Park with her husband, and Courtney Bledsoe, owner of Call and Response Books in Hyde Park. I started by asking, what does Independent Bookstore Day mean to them? Courtney kicked us off.
Well, I'm really excited for this day because there's a lot of excitement about supporting independent bookstores, especially as we have, you know, big box companies, online retailers like Amazon sort of encroaching on the independent bookstore space historically for a while now. Mm-hmm. But I think people are really excited, myself included, to have a day that is really about celebrating the, you know, the vast spread of independent bookstores that we have here in the city, right? Like you said, we have over 50 bookstores.
Right.
And people doing a mad dash around the city to get to as many bookstores as possible is something that, you know, is something that can only happen in a place like Chicago.
What do you look forward to most, Jamie, for Independent Bookstore Day?
Well, we just opened 2 months ago.
Congratulations. So
thank you. Our first one. And we've had such a welcome. So we're excited to celebrate with everyone. And I think it's super exciting how much of a community there is between all the bookstores in Chicago. That was the thing I've been most excited to find out surprised by. So we all
and
get to celebrate together.
We've got another guest joining us here. Rebecca George is co-owner of Volumes Book Cafe and one of the organizers of the crawl happening this weekend. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So, you know, I want you to tell us then about the origins and how the Chicagoland Bookstore Crawl actually came about.
Sure. So it began as an idea actually in 2016. We had done something a little bit before then, but we decided to create the Chicagoland Independent Bookseller Association, or CHIBA, when the Amazon store was coming to Lakeview. And we wanted to make sure that we were coming together with the same voice, the same messaging, and, you know, making sure that everyone was aware that we were here and that they could shop at all these really unique and cool independent bookstores all over. It really got going in 2017, 2018, where we had just a couple hundred people doing the crawl, and now we're up into the thousands.
Wow.
It really is a remarkable day. We're now up to 55 bookstores, and that going as north as Libertyville, as south as Tinley Park, and you know, and as west as Geneva and St. Charles.
Wow. How would you say overall that independent bookstores in Chicago are doing?
I think they're doing. I mean, independent bookselling is not for the faint of heart. It's a some people call things a nickel and dime business. We're like a nickel and penny business.
You're getting nods around the table.
Yeah. It's a really tough business. It's not something you go in to become a millionaire. But we all love our communities, and we love making sure that our communities have access to books, and that we can really push great artists into their hands and continue that legacy.
Yeah. So not going into this to be a millionaire, but there is some success that we can definitely celebrate here. What do you think we can attribute that success to, Courtney?
Well, I think a lot of it for independent bookstores is the fact that there are things that Amazon and other large retailers just cannot compete on, right? We provide events for the community, author events. We do trivia nights at our store. We do silent reading parties. We do all sorts of things that really people are hungering for when it comes to community building, especially after, you know, as we're dealing with kind of the impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic, right? People kind of yearning for a sense of community and a sense of belonging. And so for independent bookstores, I think what we provide is really a sense of community and space for people to come together after a long day of work, after a long day of school. And so that, I think, is something that people have been really excited about with independent bookstores in particular.
Yeah, and I mean, your store, as well as Jamie's, they're very new. Call and Response, Courtney, opened in 2024, and Dandelion Bookshop opened just a few months ago, Jamie. So I'd love to hear from you both on this, but you first, Jamie. Why did you feel that it was the right time?
Well, the only bookstore in Oak Park was closing. And owners were retiring, though, so there was no lack of interest in reading in Oak Park. It's a very literary community. Hemingway is from there. Everyone was shocked that there wasn't going to be a place to buy books. So we knew there was room for it and a need, and it was just going to leave a big hole that we could fill. So
yeah.
That was our reasoning.
What about call and response? We're approaching a year, right?
Yeah, we'll actually be having our little year anniversary on May 4th, and so I'm really excited about that.
Congratulations.
Grateful for that. But for me as well, I think being on the South Side in particular was really important to have, you know, another Black bookstore in that space, and Frontline, another really formidable presence in the Black bookselling community, had recently closed its brick and mortar doors. And so for me, it really was an exciting place to be in terms of like the distribution of people, the demographics, and just having a community space there was really exciting to me.
Yeah. Can you talk broadly, Rebecca, about some of the challenges facing owners right now, bookstore owners?
Sure. A rising cost of books the pricing on books has gone up. That's certainly difficult, especially if you have a younger demographic, for them to swallow, you know.
Yeah.
A $32 new fiction book is a lot. I understand. Do you want something discounted? We just keep trying to remind people, though, that your ability to walk in here and browse is also what you're paying for. You know, like, it might be a couple, $3 more, but your ability to do this and exchange ideas and come to our dating night, meet authors, all those things, like,
right,
that's what you're paying those $3 for.
I'm curious, will the increase in tariffs that we're seeing now from the federal government, will they affect
you?
So far,
it's they've kept paper goods, especially what has to do with books and pamphlets, at bay. I mean, that's a really big problem because a lot of the biggest printers have closed in the last 5 years.
Okay.
A lot of our printing of children's books, anything with color, children's books, cookbooks, things like that, happen in China. And also Germany is another big place where we have our books printed. So, I mean, that's something that we all have our eye on, I know. And the American Bookseller Association is keeping their eye on, too. But so far, we've been a little bit exempt from too much of a worry there. But rising costs in general, of all those little things you're talking about, the gas to get us there, the trucking, the package, you know, all those little things end up adding up. So that is a worry. We also have, I know for us, we had, James Daunt decided that they wanted to put a Barnes & Noble two blocks away from us. And that's been happening across the country, of Barnes & Noble's popping up in places where independent bookstores already are.
Yeah. How do you feel about that, Jamie and Courtney?
Well, I mean, I think, unfortunately, you know, the reality is that Barnes & Noble does fill a gap in certain communities, right? But the reality is also that there are, like Chicago, plenty of cities that have a really vibrant community of independent bookstores. And I think that the issue is that people, you know, might not necessarily think about the adverse impacts that large box companies might have on independent bookselling. And again, like, there are things that, you know, while we all sell similar products, there's things that, you know, a Barnes & Noble cannot compete on, right? Like, we're doing things that are partnering with local authors. We're providing, you know, a vast variety of different programming and things of that nature. We're partnering with local schools. We're partnering with local organizations and local small businesses. And so those things, having an eye towards the local communities, is something that, unfortunately, you know, Barnes & Noble is not going to be able to do.
Well, yeah, that's definitely an asset on your part. Black bookstores in particular, Courtney, they saw this spike in interest after 2020's social justice movement. You were among those who recently talked with the Sun-Times about that and how you've seen over time the support has waned Can you say more on that?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, as I said before, we've only been open for almost a year now, so we haven't been as a store kind of seeing that shift, you know, here. But I will say that, you know, ourselves seeing kind of the ways that people interact with Black stories, right, and kind of putting them into a box of what they are and what we are not, is also something that I think that a lot of Black bookstores are dealing with right now.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, dealing with cuts to federal funding for certain programming, right? Yeah. And so a lot
competition
of organizations.
Competition with online retailers.
Absolutely. And
the economic downturn in general?
Absolutely. So a variety of factors are kind of contributing to people not being able to or willing to spend money at Black bookstores. And so that's something that we're dealing with right now as well.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the book bans, Jamie? The increase in book bans, the attacks against books in general that we've seen?
I definitely find that concerning.
Yeah.
we've had lots of customers coming in asking where our banned book section is. And we don't have a section because I just consider them books. But we still carry those titles and mm-hmm. think they're important. And I also write children's books, and so I hear from authors on that side too. And I think there's the thought that you get more publicity by having your book banned, but that doesn't always help.
Really?
And
yeah.
Sometimes then you just get cut out. So I think it is really worrisome.
What are your thoughts on these book bans, Rebecca? I know you've been watching this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're really lucky to live in a state that our governor has codified into law that we cannot ban books. Thank you, Governor Pritzker, for that. But that doesn't mean that we're not concerning and seeing what our peers are dealing with in a number of states, some of them going with lawsuits up until the Supreme Court kind of thing. I think that. And now we just heard about them taking out of military, taking like Gwendolyn Brooks and Maya Angelou out of the military library, like because that they think it's some kind of DEI thing, which makes zero sense whatsoever. I think that they're trying to create some kind of division amongst us and silencing voices and removing voices is part of that agenda. It doesn't. Here's the thing. We live in a world where we're so connected and interconnected that people can still access those books.
Right.
You know, taking away from the library is going to hurt a lot of people who should have access to that for free. But that doesn't mean they can't find it somewhere else. I mean, those books are still going to exist. It's just
I think it's creative.
Yeah. And I think it's shameful that the same way that like movies are rated, like if you don't want your kid to watch a PG-13 movie, then don't. But you shouldn't take away that opportunity for other people to have access to it.
Do you all remember the first indie bookstore that you went to? Nodding. Yes. Rebecca, what comes to mind?
Well, Crocs and Brentano's here in the city and Rizzoli's. But every time I went downtown, my dad used to be a dentist down here in the city at Water Tower Place for 40 years. And I remember getting to go to these bookstores in the city, and they felt like really like fancy, magical places. Like that's what bookstores should be treated as, fancy, magical places. And it was the one place I was allowed to go by myself, you know, and hang out for the day.
That.
And you know, my parents knew I was safe in a bookstore. I would say those are two of my favorites.
Those
from
the early
the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes me old, sorry.
Courtney, anything come to mind for you?
I think my first memory of an independent bookstore is actually in the Book Table that recently closed in Oak Park. And so that I think that opened when maybe I was a teenager or something like that. But I was a really avid reader as a teenager. And so going over there and, you know, seeing the number of books on the shelf as a kid was something that was just really, really amazing.
Yes.
I was mostly a library kid. And so I was mostly spending most of my time at the library. But having access to an independent bookstore is really, really cool as well as a kid.
Jamie?
I'm originally from Cincinnati. And so I grew up going to Joseph Beth Booksellers, which is still there. Mm. I still love to visit when I go home. And now I take my son there, just like my parents took me. So lots of good memories there.
What do you think makes a good bookstore, Courtney?
Well, I think a lot of it is the curation. I mean, there's a few things, right? I think the curation is something for an independent bookstore. It often feels like an extension of the people running the store, right? And so there's a lot to say about how people are hand selecting the books that are on the shelves, right? But it's not only there's just that, right? A lot of independent bookstores are also responding to the demands of the community, right? Mm-hmm. And so for us, it's not only just us thinking about would be cool to have on the shelves, but also we have people come in all the time asking, oh, do you have this book? Do you have that book? And after we were special ordering it for some people, we realized this is something that people really want to see here. And so kind of responding to the needs and the desires of the people who are coming in is something that has been really cool to even do over the course of a year, right? Yeah. But also, the offerings that we have, people come in asking for certain types of events, and that's something that we respond to as well, right? You know, we started out with author events, we started out with trivia nights, but we've also done teach-ins, we've done all sorts of things that might go beyond the span of what you might think of a normal bookstore doing.
More than just books.
Absolutely, absolutely. We've done friend mixers, all sorts of things that people have come in and asked about, and so that's been really cool to do as well.
Yeah, events, are they part of your store in Oak Park?
We're working on that.
Nice.
We're really anxious to get started.
I'm putting all the pressure on you.
So we had our first poetry reading last weekend.
Oh, nice.
We had standing room only. People
that's
are
wonderful.
Asking when we will have, we have a story time happening this weekend for Independent Bookstore Day, our first one. So
you're starting to ramp it up. Yeah. That's great. You offer coffee, Rebecca?
We have coffee, and tea, and baked goods. And we do a lot of events.
I think a lot of events.
Pre-pandemic, we were doing upwards of 300 a year. We're a little bit less than that, but I think I'm exhausted. But last night we had Dr. Brittany Friedman and her book Carceral Apartheid. With Dr. Ruben Miller, who's from University of Chicago. Mm-hmm. We did speed dating. We call it Totally Lit Speed Dating for like bookish people.
Oh, how fun.
We have story time twice a week. Yeah, poetry readings, author readings. We've got a ton of book clubs that meet. We have.
And you got the Chicagoland bookstore crawl coming up
this
weekend.
Yeah, I know. It's
Tell me more.
It's so much fun, y'all. If I wasn't a bookstore owner, I would be doing this. I mean,
you're working the crawl.
Yeah,
but
I know. For some people, they call it like their Super Bowl. So basically, if you get to 10 bookstores, you start at one store, you get a passport. You don't have to buy something from that store, but we hope you buy something of one or two of the 10 bookstores that you're going to. But you get a passport. If you get to 10 stores on Saturday, you get 10% off for the entire year until the next Indie Bookstore Day.
Oh, great.
If you get to 15 bookstores, you get 15% off for the entire year until the next Indie Bookstore Day. And like I said, we have thousands of people doing this now. We have buses. There's bike routes. There's Read and Run is doing stuff. I think we still have some slots in the buses for our Western route.
Oh,
if you head to shylovebooks.com, you can find out more about that. But it's a great way to just also introduce yourself to new neighborhoods, to a bookstore you haven't been to.
Sounds fun.
And because we're so different and what we curate is so different, I love going to new bookstores because I find things that maybe aren't on my radar that I would want to bring into our store or, you know, just something that wouldn't have been on my radar to begin with.
No, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, leave us with this. Tell us what you're reading right now. I'm sure folks are looking for inspiration. I'll come to you first, Jamie.
Oh, I've actually felt a lot of pressure about this because I read a lot of children's books, but people are looking to me for adult books.
For adult books. Maybe not necessarily. We want an escape, too.
But I also really love poetry for National Poetry Month, so I recently reread Kate Bear's What Kind of Woman.
Mm.
That's one of my favorites.
Love it. Courtney?
So I'm reading a couple books right now. That's just how my brain is being chaotic.
I don't know how you do it.
from everything that's going on. But currently I'm reading a nonfiction title called We Refuse, which is by Kelly Carter Jackson. And it's a history of Black resistance movements over the years, including violent and nonviolent resistance. And so that's been really compelling and interesting to be reading right now.
Yeah, good timing for that one. And Rebecca, what are you reading?
I'm reading, she's a former Chicago author. She left us for Brooklyn, but Catherine Lacey's Mobius Strip. It's kind of like an auto-fiction, nonfiction thing, and it's read in two different directions.
Interesting.
It's really cool and innovative, and it's coming out in about a month. I would also do two things at once. But Olivia Blake's Gifted and Talented, which just came out, is extraordinary. And I'm about three quarters of the way through that. And I love it.
I'm writing them down, folks. Yeah. We have been talking about Chicago's independent bookstores ahead of Saturday's independent bookstore crawl with Jamie Erickson, who's co-owner of Dandelion Bookshop in Oak Park, Courtney Bledsoe, who's owner of Call and Response Books in Hyde Park, and Rebecca George, who's co-owner of Volumes Book Cafe and Indie Bookstore Crawl organizer. Thank you all so much. This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Jules Yeager. It was edited by Dan Tucker and mixed by Ari Mejia. Arts, culture, breaking news, and more. Reset dives deep inside Chicago through conversations with people to keep you in the know and connected. Hit subscribe wherever you listen to never miss out, or you can find us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. I look forward to meeting with you later today.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely